Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Mutate and swell. Say hello to evolution. Just when it's out of control, the alien hater hit. So say goodbye to evolution. This hero team has got control of the scene.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, right in the middle of our movies based on properties that are cartoons. I already messed it up. You know what we're doing. This is like week three of us doing it. So four, I don't even know anymore. Anyway, that's the tagline for this show. I just don't know anymore. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
That tagline presupposes that at any point you knew what was going on.
I feel like at one moment in time, I felt pretty confident.
Was it before you knew us?
Yes. No.
Have we even dropped any of these episodes yet? I don't even know.
Yes.
That's a good question.
The first one has, in fact, come out.
We're doing one tonight that I had to look up, and when I looked it up, I remembered the movie. I have definitely never seen this movie.
Oh. Evolution. Now, I have seen, I saw this movie in theaters.
What? This is like the only time that you have seen something that I have not, Ray.
This is crazy. And one other thing, like I was going to mention it in a little bit, but Evolution, look, I will just talk about it right out the gate. This is, at first, based on the title, I thought this was based on the Aliens movies. So I sat down preparing myself for how do you possibly make an H.R. Giger Aliens cartoon for kids? And then I realized, oh, this is the Evolution movie. And then I said, well, how do you make an evolution-themed cartoon show for kids? This is based on the 2001 David Duchovny, Orlando Jones sci-fi comedy romp.
Yeah, great cast. And I remember when it came out. I just think maybe, yeah, I honestly don't know how I missed it. It seems like it's right up my alley.
Yeah, I mean, the other big note of this, which would mean nothing to anyone but the three of us, but I don't know how deep you looked into the IMDb for the movie, but one of, in a smaller role, was one Tressa Pope.
What?
Who, as one of the students.
Wait, and who, listed on the IMDb? Like, was it just an extra?
No, that is correct. She was one of the students.
Why don't you tell the audience who that is?
Tressa Pope is the wonderfully talented wife of Brent Pope, who you might be familiar with if you listen to this show. And she helped all of us, I believe, get into our various houses and condos as a mortgage broker specialist.
without looking up her IMDb. She was on NYPD Blue.
She did a lot of stuff, dude.
Is that how they met?
I'm not sure exactly how the two of them met. I mean, it was a little bit ago. But she went to Carnegie Mellon. She went to a very famous acting school. So she actually is friends with a lot of actors who do work in this town. Pretty prestigious university. But yeah.
And, I believe I also saw this movie in theaters because huge Duchovny head. And also, Orlando Jones, this was when he was at his peak during his hot streak. Wonderfully talented dude. Doesn't get nearly as much work as he ought to.
What has he been up to actually? Or did he switch to like directing or something?
No. He's been, I've seen him in stuff. He just doesn't take. Just doesn't get, I shouldn't say, doesn't take, doesn't get really big roles anymore.
He was
in American Gods, which wasn't that long ago.
There you go.
Yeah. And I believe, I think he has a reputation for being prickly
my understanding is that he is not great to work with.
I feel like he is in the right in pretty much all of these places where there's issues.
I heard he's a diva.
I hear a bunch of white people were trying to make him do dumb shit, and he was like, no. So, you know.
He did like 7-Up ads or something?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
There's that.
But he is not in this show. Honestly, I thought that some of these actors might have done voices. Like, obviously, Duchovny was too big at this time. I wonder why Orlando Jones didn't do one of the voices. I mean,
he was too big at the time.
None of these voice actors are famous voice actors, so I'm sure it was a price thing.
Well, but you saw who made it. You saw the production company behind this, Gina.
Yes,
our friends over at Deke.
Deke, yep.
Oof.
So also, or last bit about Orlando Jones, but when you pop open his IMDb, the first thing it says is like most known for Evolution. So that was really the high point of where he ended up, unfortunately, or fortunately. I don't know.
That is.
I genuinely enjoyed that movie though. I thought it was a lot of fun. It had a very Ghostbusters feel to it, right? A vibe more so than like actual things that happened. And you know, I like Ghostbusters, so I ended up liking this.
Yeah, I don't really remember if I liked it or not. I think it seemed fine.
You're Robert Clark Chan. You hated it. I don't need you to tell me whether or not you liked it. I know young Robert Clark Chan was enraged by this movie for one reason or another.
Wait.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh. No, okay. A weird sci-fi movie starring David Duchovny? I wouldn't think that he would dislike it.
All right, looks like we got to do a rewatch on the Patreon. All right, everybody. Load up. Anyway, the name of this episode is Dead Wayne Cells, which is, I mean, that's a great title. Especially given what this movie is, or what this episode is about. Like, it's well done. Well done with the title. I'll give them that.
I think it's supposed to be a play on dead brain cells.
That is correct.
But I think my first reference is the Sepultura classic, Dead Embryonic Cells. So,
Of course it is.
I don't know, man.
You think the person who makes that reference loved this movie?
Look.
Just saying.
Here's a fun thing. I actually didn't mind this cartoon. I don't know how y'all felt about it, but like, I was less bothered by it than I was. What did we do last week? I don't know.
Men in Black?
Yeah. I think I enjoyed it more than I appreciated it more. I didn't enjoy it more.
Honestly, I'll just ask the question. What was the major difference between this and Men in Black?
It is real similar.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And excuse me, that was Dumb and Dumber that we did last week. Men in Black was 2 weeks ago. So this is week 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is week 4. So you, you've had a moment. But yeah, I was watching this and I'm like, this is literally just all the bullet points of Men in Black. Just instead of aliens, we have evolved monsters. And instead of going to space, we stay on Earth. But it's still, they're all wearing, like, why are they all wearing, like weird sci-fi crap? Like, that was not a part of the original Evolution movie.
Was it not? Didn't they have some sort of, like, they didn't have, like, spacesuits or something?
No, I remember they had, like, tech, but they wore, if I remember this correctly, I'm going to have to watch this movie again. But they wore, like, Ghostbusters-esque, like, one suits, you know? Like, yeah. I don't remember it being any different than that.
I was curious if they had this gas monster thing in the movie.
I can't imagine they did.
That's what I was saying. I was like, oh, is this the equivalent of like putting a talking dog in the show? Yes. This is like an alien that they call Gasser or something.
Gina,
what's its name?
It's a farting alien. What do you think?
I mean, listen, I've never seen the movie. I would buy that there was a farting alien in it.
No, we've seen too many of these cartoons to not know the farting alien monster was added to for the cartoon.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So
you know, look, the show is about, look, the movie, I barely remember the movie, but it's basically about two guys who, you know, there's like an evolutionary, there's a monster and they're out fighting it and it's funny.
I'm actually watching the trailer. Great.
Remind me.
And it looks like two dudes, Duchovny and Bloom, are like researchers, professors or something like that. There's a meteor crashes to Earth. They go and you know, inspect it and like, oh, my God, some alien. Oh, an alien is in Orlando Bloom's leg now. That's not great.
Wait, so, is this Wayne dude?
It's Jones, Orlando Jones. Orlando Bloom is the elf.
No, I didn't say Orlando Bloom. I said Orlando Jones.
I did.
You can't tell the difference?
No, I cannot. I don't see color.
Also, is this young dude Wayne? Was he in the movie or did they put him in here just to like court the younger crowd?
Absolutely that. He is the human equivalent of a farting alien.
Also, like, he's not, because I was like, oh, they had to put what, like, why is a teenager working this job? I assume he's supposed to be a teenager. But yeah, clearly the execs were like, oh, kids think that David Duchovny and Orlando Jones are too old.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm looking at it now. And there's a character played by Sean William Scott named Wayne.
Oh,
there you go. That's Stifler.
They aged him down Stifler for this.
I'm actually impressed that Ray, that you immediately knew that was Stifler. Usually you're not the guy that's good with names.
No, I only know him as Stifler. He's had an entire full 25-year career since that movie, maybe 30-year career. And it doesn't matter. Every time I see him, this is a problem in me. I don't say there's great actor Sean William Scott. I say there's Stifler.
To be fair, it's not like he really stretches in roles for over his 30-year career.
No.
He does his thing, and it's fine. He's making a living. He's probably got a house out in the Palisades. It's fine.
True. Probably true. Or Malibu or something.
Yeah.
Right. Look, he's living. I'm sure he's living fine. That's all I'm trying to say about that. So instead of aliens, we have genus creatures, which are creatures, I assume, kind of based on the movie that like hyper evolve for some reason and become monsters. Like that's the gist of it.
And that's
right?
Why they named them after Gina.
Yeah, correct. They're my monsters. Mm-hmm. No one better fuck with me. I've got my own monsters.
Will they be your little monsters?
Also, they may or may not be farting monsters.
Listen, I'll take any and all monsters if they agree to serve me unconditionally in my war.
I mean, that's what happened with your cats.
That's true.
I hope one of you at least has read the Wikipedia about this cartoon.
I skimmed it.
I am looking over it now because I was running late, so I didn't get to GASI stands for genetically altered symbiotic stasis in evolution.
Well, I mean, of course it stands for something.
Okay. All right.
I would have thought that he was just, it's a farting alien. You call it GASI. And that's.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like that they went the extra mile.
sure.
To explain the joke.
Great. Wonderful. This is all fantastic.
Okay, well, here's the deal. So they go to a garage of some kind, and they find some of these genus creatures. They're expecting lots and lots and lots of them, but they only find one of them. And it's a little fluffy dust bunny creature, and it's adorable.
It's a tribble.
It's a little tribble because it replicates. But also, once they pet it, because, you know, we haven't seen enough Prometheus and Aliens movies to know you don't just pet the alien when it comes across.
That's super dumb.
They pet it, and all of a sudden it turns into this horrific body horror monster with like an elongated like intestine with teeth on it that comes out of its body. It's a lot.
I'd still pet it.
I mean, you would, yeah.
It's a toothy worm. We've seen toothy worms before.
Yep. Anyway, it eats Wayne's axe, and it then replicates
it
again.
It eats Wayne's ass?
Yes. No, axe.
I heard ass.
Well, it might have also eaten his ass a little bit. Look, I mean, if I'm getting the dates right, it is a millennial.
Yeah.
That's what happens, from what I hear.
This is what you know about millennials is they eat ass.
It is literally the only thing I know about millennials. Can I just be honest with you?
That's fair.
I don't think I'm wrong.
You probably are, but I'm not going to bother to correct it.
You know what? That's a win for me. Anyway, they try to eat the truck too. And Chan, you know, you're our resident science jerk on the show. If you could grab me a sound poll from about 3 minutes and 30 seconds, they go through a full scientific explanation of what they're going to try to do to reverse the gene thing and unduplicate the monster. And I'm just not smart enough. I didn't get it. Maybe if we play it right now, you can explain it to us. As you know a lot more science than I do.
The strobe effect should stagnate the creature's replication by counterbalancing the electromagnetic field of the power plant.
All I understood was the strobe light makes him want to boogie down.
Okay. No, that's great. I mean, there was a lot of other stuff in there, but...
there is so much technobabble in here, and honestly, I did not... When it comes up in Star Trek, I'm like, that's hilarious. That's fun. We're just talking about tachyons, and that's great. But, like, this was just like... Come on, man. Why are we even bothering? Because they go hard later on in the episode. I'm like, this is completely unnecessary.
They do. I thought like that was going to be the extent of what we were worried about right there, but it turns out I was wrong. They end up doing the thing he said he was going to do, and that freezes them in place. Then they spray a hose of water on them, which turns them somehow into starfish, and then they... hoover them up with a vacuum cleaner. Is there part of that I got wrong?
That sounds right.
That sounds right.
It's probably a proton pack.
It was a little weird. Also, yeah, I just wrote here, this movie, they were not wearing like Space Marine uniforms in the movie.
I mean, you have to sell toys.
Did they make Evolution toys?
I have not looked it up, but
good question.
I guarantee you they did.
Well, this only ran for one season, so I don't know if they felt like there would be demand for toys, but you're right, they probably did.
Real quick, I just sent you all a screenshot of the aliens eating Wayne's ass.
Listen, if I was an alien, and if I was an alien and I was sent to a planet,
yeah,
there's no better way to get to know someone on an alien planet than eating their ass. You can find out all about a planet and its weaknesses.
Also, I'm just doing a quick check. The show came out in 2001. Wayne is 17 years old. That means he would have been born in 1984.
Full millennial.
That's not a millennial.
That is full millennial. What are you talking about? Millennials start at like 82.
81, because I'm technically they start in 80.
There you go.
Oh. And then some people are call them geriatric millennials or elder millennials or exennials.
Yes, I have heard that before.
Hmm.
I don't see any toys based on the movie, although it's hard because evolution is used in so many toy lines. Like there's like a Pokemon here. There's a Transformers. There's I believe a Power Rangers. So this is Godzilla.
Alienator Dragon Evolution Ball, Checklist. Harry
Ninja
Block.
Turtles Evolution. So it's like, I'd have Block, to go real Harry deep Green, into the Google.
Wayne Green, Lieutenant Mount. I'm looking at a page right now that has all of the action figures for. What? They also have vehicles. They have fighter what? Cycles.
No, send the link, Chan. I need to see this for myself.
You could.
Chan,
you
know, is what? Busy screen grabbing people's asses getting eaten in cartoons.
Okay, well, fair enough.
You have Google just like I do.
I did. And what, Chan? I mean, you're obviously, you use a lot of AI. You must be a better prompter than I am. A true chef in the AI kitchen. With the prompting.
Oh, that's how we're going to play this, huh?
Right. My prompts don't work. I don't use AI like you do.
Uh-huh. Okay. No. That's fine.
That one stung. anyway, yeah, no, that movie was not this sci-fi. Like, it had elements, but it wasn't like Star Trek, you know? Like, it. I don't know. It made me mad. There's also a girl here who's getting ninja training. And good. I had her name down here somewhere. What's her name?
Did you see Ninja Training or do you just see her doing flips and kicks?
She's doing flips and kicks. Look, this is the same crap we just saw in Sigma 6 they had Tunnel Rat do for his ninja training. And that's good enough for me. Also, to me, she looks exactly like Kim Possible. And I couldn't shake it once I thought it.
No. 100%. That's in the 90s, there was a character type that was a girl who's tougher than the boys because she did a form of martial arts / gymnastics.
Yeah. I like her. I'm not a fan of this like kind of babyish animation style, but she seems cool and cute.
Why would you train like that? How is that training?
Cause she doesn't want to train with the boys because they're always trying to correct her on her style.
She's flipping it. She's just flipping at random around the room and like throwing spinning roundhouse kicks to nowhere. Also in the garage where Wayne is fixing the car. But there's also barbells around. So it's a garage cum gym.
They sort of live in like a hangar. I mean, I can't really.
Also, isn't she like a lieutenant? In the army or something.
She is a lieutenant of some kind, you know, the Salvation Army. I don't know.
Oh, what? Because women can't be lieutenants, Ray?
No, they often get much higher, like general.
Oh boy. Okay. The character, according to Wikipedia, is a tough and aggressive but benevolent lieutenant, trained by a special forces team called the Blue Berets. She's very talented with martial arts and acrobatic.
I'm into this. I'm into the fact that she's capable. She's a Scarlet type.
Yeah, I guess. No. I was going to call her a Cover Girl type, and that is just rude and uncalled for. So we'll just call her Kim Possible and move on.
Also, they did make a deluxe gassy playset, Gina.
Oh, so, deluxe.
You know, I don't know. You know, Christmas is coming up by the time this airs.
I mean, I bet this is like $1 million on eBay for some reason. It's probably one of those things that there's some guy that's like, and this is the jewel of my collection, a gassy playset from Alienators. $60.
Oh, this one calls it a gassel playset.
Gassel. Anyway. Okay. So,
holy shit. That search with gassy, it also pulled up the 1986 Savage Strike Headquarters Vintage Rambo Coleco Savage Playset.
Wow, now we're talking.
You want to take a guess how much that costs?
$140.
Gina?
$2. We're trying to get closest without going over, right?
You're both wildly incorrect.
Oh, that means I win.
$949.95.
Oh my god.
Whoa. All right, let's do it.
On sale was $999.95. So well,
brought down that price. Now it's reasonable.
Mm.
I like that.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Aliens. They're unstoppable, but we're gonna stop them anyway. Send in the Marines. We're the Space Marines. Drake, Ripley, Apone, Bishop, and I'm Hicks, armed with the latest high-tech heavy metal.
Look out, Hicks! The Queen's gonna crown ya!
My bug rocker's on a roll!
Bull alien attacking!
Eat torch, bug brain!
Alien invasion problem? Send in the Marines!
Aliens!
Send in the Marines!
Space Marines! Aliens!
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Anyway, Wayne, we find out Wayne has, and I don't know, I mean, I guess it's when the monster ate his ass. Wayne starts replicating and becoming like the other monster was, and now there's like a lot of Waynes. I have a major issue with how they do this.
I kind of like this storyline because it sort of reminds me of like, there's an episode of Buffy where there's this, like, you know, demon, and he has a stick that's designed to separate Buffy's like Slayer essence from her other things. And like that. The idea is like, oh, you separate the weak Buffy, who's just a Buffy high school girl, from the Slayer Buffy, and then you can kill that one. And it ends up going wrong, and Xander ends up getting hit. And like, there's two Xanders in the whole episode. No one really is sure what's going on. And one is like the suave, cool Xander, and the other one is like pure doofus. And this is like the little kid cartoon version of that. I do like a, oh crap, something weird happened. We think we fixed it, but now it's gone off the rails and it takes us a while to figure out why and how to fix it. I like that trope.
I like that aspect of it. There's a certain very specific aspect of it that I think they did for a bit that really made me unhappy when I started breaking down what I was watching.
I do like that split into good person, bad person, good version, bad version. And this one, they didn't have enough time to get into that. Cause then you get to play around with like, oh, what is this character? And like, what are they made of? And you know,
yes,
let's have fun with it. This is just like, here's a whole bunch of them, the alternative monsters and you know.
Well, at first, like you don't find out until about halfway through that he's going to turn into a monster. Like at first, it just seems like, oh, there's a lot of this guy. Like I guess we'd better figure out how to help him. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh well, shit, he's mutating and turning into a horrible monster. And at some point, it will be irreversible. I was like, yeah, this is a pretty good kids cartoon plot.
Kids cartoon plot. I didn't like that they like tripled him so fast.
Yes.
Like because then there isn't like I'm me, but I'm me. And playing around with different versions or even just like multiple versions, immediately you get like eight of them all just talking simultaneously. Like well, yeah. What's the fun in that, man?
And they're all annoying. Every also single one of them. But they're getting more genus with every split. Now, they do this in a very clunky way. I mean, it should be a much more gradual overcoming. And instead, it's just like at a certain moment in time.
Hold on.
Yes.
Before we go too much further, I just want to real quick show everybody. There's another character who has also been mutated. It's the lieutenant. What the hell's wrong with her boobs? She's got one that's pointed hard right.
Okay.
And the other one is just like part of her armpit. So clearly she's also had her ass eaten by aliens and now is turning into some
She's not that army uniform was not made for the feminine form.
It's like the right one is like poking out past her bicep.
Yes, it's this looking. I had to stop looking at it. It's extremely uncomfortable. The other one is underneath. Yeah, underneath her armpit.
Can you, Gina? Do you have? You understand the female form better, presumably, than either myself or Ray.
This is she has a ninja star in her bra as an extra weapon.
On the right side?
Just in case. Yeah, on the pointy side. That's what it is. She keeps an extra ninja star there because a lieutenant in a cartoon is always prepared.
You know what? That's the best explanation I'm gonna hear.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah, I'm in.
So we shouldn't have come to you for advice on femininity, but rather your ninja prowess.
Yes, exactly.
That's my mistake, and I apologize.
I mean, Gina, she can be both.
She could be both a woman and a ninja?
It's 2025.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Every woman is born with a ninja star in her vagina these days.
I mean, that's what I heard in middle school.
I hate this sporty guy.
Who, Wayne?
No, the sports guy who's... Oh, he's... let's see. Who is he? He is Scientist Harry Block. That's his moniker.
That would be Orlando Jones' character.
Yeah. A coach who always keeps up on the game scores, etc., and loves coaching the women's team. Don't like how that's just thrown in there in a really weird way.
That should tell you that maybe these allegations, just saying, maybe double think your what you're thinking.
Allegations
there.
Against the cartoon character.
Yeah.
That's right.
But like when we see when they're looking for all the other Waynes, he's just out there like he has a basketball and you know that he's into sports because he does some like Harlem Globetrotter stuff. And weird. It just seemed like, what? And when he's like, say, hey, we're looking for Wayne. And he's like, oh, they're right there. And there's like three of them behind him. Dude is being such an... I don't, if one of you showed up and there were three of you, like multiple clone kind of things,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play some Marvel Snap. And when someone comes in and says, hey, have you seen three Rays? I'd be like, hold on. I'm just playing my Ultron. Oh, by the way, there's three Rays over there. The motherfucker has some messed up priorities.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, keep in mind, they've seen a lot of weird stuff at this point. Like they this have is seen true. Tons. So it's not just like, oh, it's a normal day. Oh, crap, there's three Chans. It's like, hey, we see aliens and, you know, Puffkins and have a farting dog gas monster alien thing. So if three of them show up, he's probably like, eh, you know what? I'll worry about it when it becomes a problem.
But also, it's Black guy who's really good at basketball, just obsessed with basketball. That's it. That's his one character thing. It's a little bit of all of it.
You seem kind of mad about three different things, and it's enough to make one full mad.
Yeah. Each one of these individually is like, well, that's not great. But just all in one piece.
But when they Voltron together,
yeah,
I get it. Look, they just say, "Hey, well, I got an obvious solution for this. Let's just murder every Wayne."
I'm for that.
And I was honestly like, "Yeah, it's the only logic." Sorry, other Waynes, but like we got one, and he keeps duplicating until we figure this out. Let's just murder them. It's the obvious solution.
Well, I mean, when we go follow them, like a dozen of them are playing with fire hoses.
Yeah.
Like spraying each other with fire hoses. And I don't know, at that point, I'd be real high on the like, let's just murder them all.
I had a real hard time with some of the logic, some of the science logic, because they were like, you can't just murder the extra Waynes because there's a piece of Wayne. And he can't be back to a normal Wayne unless we collect all the Waynes who duplicate.
I mean, honestly, I appreciate the extra thought that went into this, because the instant knee-jerk reaction would be like, just shoot every Wayne except for one in the head, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, also, you can't do that in a kid's cartoon.
Well, you could vaporize them.
Why we shouldn't, like, take PG-13 properties and make them into kids' shows.
Yeah. Look, the Waynes go into stage two. And basically, when they duplicate after a certain point, and they also do a gag in here where there's like a college class with like two regular people sitting in it. And there's about, what, comfortably 50 Waynes also in the class with them?
Let's see, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15 times 2, 4, 6, 8. 10, 12, we're in excess of 150, I think.
150 Waynes in this, that's even worse than my postulation, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, because when these Waynes duplicate the next time, they become hybrid Wayne slash monster.
Hold on.
Who are the new kids?
I don't know, but twins creep me out.
Didn't hate it.
That's okay. I'm okay with that.
It's fine. But so now we learn the Waynes will now duplicate again, but now they'll be Wayne, but with some monstrous features. He's still Wayne, but he's like half monster Wayne, right? This is where we're at, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that means there would be a lot of them. Like, by the show's own logic, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Because the rate they're duplicating is also very, very fast. Now, the point I just want to make here is that they the Waynes are breaking stuff. They're going towards electricity. They don't necessarily know what they're doing. And they turn into, again, they turn into stage three, which are fully monstrous, lose their Wayne-ness, and are more monster than Wayne, and will attack people on sight. At this point, they say, we got to find a solution to move them from stage three to stage two, from stage two to stage one, from stage one to singular Wayne. Also, it is deeply important that we get every single one of them. Crucial to what we are doing is no Waynes can be left out of the final equation. At which point, based on the math I've given you, they round up about 8 Wayne hybrid Waynes, stage two, and lock them in a cooler and say, stay here while we find the stage three Waynes.
Uh-huh.
But there's only like a dozen stage three Waynes.
What?
In the final scene, there's about 8 stage two Waynes.
Oh, but no, some of them are locked up and being frozen.
But that's the 8 stage two Waynes. Those are the ones they're trying to... apparently the freezing... or the cooler prevents them or slows down their process of the spawning new ones. But the problem I have is we had comfortably 150 stage one Waynes at one point. By the final battle, we're down to about 20 total from a deeply duplicating species. And they make a big point of saying we need all of them together. They round up 20 and say, that's good enough. Zap them. I'm getting ahead of myself. And then everybody's fine.
Are you not familiar with the concept of an animation budget?
Don't make the gag in the room with the with 150 Waynes if your plot hinges on that one fact, or don't make that plot point. That's all I'm saying. That infuriated me. We get to the final battle. Look, okay, here we go. Because the military says, well, we got one solution for this. We're going to airstrike the entire city.
That was bonkers.
We're going to Raccoon City this bee.
He goes, apparently he's not a fan of this team of whatever.
Who could blame
this
him?
Thing is. So sure.
But he's also a psychopath.
To go, he shows up and is like, well, only option is to nuke everything. What? There are many other options before that.
None that I could see.
And the fact that you would go from zero to nuke to all right, I'll give you one more chance in the span of 30 seconds.
Okay, that was pretty wild.
Is nuts.
I was actually wondering if Kim Possible was like his daughter. Like, why is he being all deferential to her?
I looked up the character to see. It's Lieutenant Lucy Mai is Kim Possible.
Okay.
And General Russell Woodman is the pompous windbag in charge of giving the alienators missions.
Okay. So not.
No.
Not the thing that I would hope for.
It's just deep cartoons.
It's just deep cartoons, man. That's all you gotta say. Yeah, they're gonna level the city after, of course, evacuating the seven people who apparently live in the city. Which
except that then there are people after they evacuated, and
don't worry about that. You know the military don't care.
Try not to, but yeah.
And somehow the Waynes talk their way out of the freezer for the final confrontation. So they essentially run into a bunch of the Stage 3 monsters, kind of lure them out, lure them to, again, just a warehouse. I don't know if it's their warehouse, a separate warehouse. This entire episode takes place in a variety of warehouses.
That's true.
And it's just bizarre. I know it's Deke, and I know they don't want to animate anything, but I don't know. It makes me laugh. I'm just like, guys, we're in like three or four different warehouses. Even the military base seemed like a warehouse to me.
Okay, there was make a garage slash gym. So there's that.
Yeah. I do like the fact that like the military is dealing with this issue. It's a very serious problem. And they're just like, all right, General, what do we need to do? And the general thinks about it for just a moment, furrows his brow, takes off his glasses, turns to the crew and just says, fuck Wayne. Let's nuke him.
Give
every part of that was joyful.
I would absolutely nuke Wayne.
Is Wayne the tunnel rat of this this operation?
100.
I mean, he has to be, doesn't he?
Yeah, he definitely seems like he's the tunnel
if
rat.
If tunnel rat shows up in the next G.I. Joe movie, he will be played by Sean William Scott, and that all tracks.
Dude, actually, I kind of in favor of that, if I can be honest with you.
Yeah, that's true.
Who would better
actually
to portray a New York melting pot South Asian?
Are we sure we didn't see a tunnel rat in any of the live action movies? There's been a few.
Tunnel rat debuted in G.I. Joe the movie, the cartoon movie. He never appeared in the original Real American Hero series. He debuted in the movie along with, you know, Chuckles, Jinx, Law and Order, and Lieutenant Falcon, and Big Lob. Don't want to forget Big Lob.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, I don't believe, no, obviously he wasn't in G.I. Joe Extreme. I don't think he made it into Deke era at all. And then they just decided to make him front and center, the comedy relief character of Sigma Six. I do actually believe he is in, when we watch it, G.I. Joe Renegades. But I can't believe it's going to be the same take on the character.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I hope to God it's not the same take on the character. But I believe this is the gritty reboot, so I think we're safe.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I haven't seen it yet. So, heck if I know. Chan, you like Tunnel Rat?
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. I was just going through IMDb. Tunnel Rat does not show up in the first G.I. Joe movie. I have definitely seen that movie and I don't recall him, and he's not in IMDb. However, I haven't really watched the second one all the way through.
You're talking about the live action movies?
G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Yes. Okay. Great, Rock. Great, great. Yeah.
There is in IMDb, they list an uncredited Tunnel Rat.
Oh, seriously?
There is a person who plays Tunnel Rat. I don't know.
And it's Sean William Scott? Just tell me yes, Chan.
It's probably like some sort of extra, maybe someone who had lines that got cut.
Okay.
When we watch it, we're going to have to keep our eyes out.
Eddie Hargate.
A brother of Mariska?
He's half Thai Chinese.
Well, that's correct for the role.
He was in Fight Club.
Okay.
Great.
He was in... the hell is Tom Holland's Twisted Tales?
Oh, he's a musical theater kid, even better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's. He graduated from the Lee Strasberg Film and Theater Institute, so that's something.
You know, the place you go before playing Tunnel Rat, uncredited in the G.I. Joe movie. Honestly, fantastic. I'm happy for him.
His cousin is Mariska Hargitay.
That's what Ray said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, not brother, but cousin. I'll take it.
I don't listen.
There can only be so many Hargitays in the acting world. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, getting back to the episode, they make the stupid antidote. They get all the stupid people together. They freeze them in place with a strobe. And they antidote them down. And they're going to have like 60 seconds to go before they duplicate again. But who cares if they duplicate again? Because we have them all in this situation. So I don't really understand why there's a timer.
Mm-hmm.
Here at the end, I lost the plot. They got into some technobabble that didn't make any sense. And then to double down on it, they have coordinates to shoot at. And so they're just flinging random ass numbers around.
We got to hear some of that, Chan. You can't just say that.
I absolutely can. I don't have to play shit.
Hey, what's up? Random numbers.
Coordinates. A69. Seconds. G812. M76. B211. H40. 32. 15. 10. 9. L60. 40. 8. Q20. 93.
7.
B1950.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1. Hurry. Left. Center. Right.
It just keeps going.
A long segment.
They had time to fill, Chan.
Oh. Yeah, it's an episode where a whole lot of nothing really happens, but urgently.
Yeah.
And they get him from all the ones from 3 down to 2. And also, like, they start merging together, too, which is a little bit weird. And then they go down to stage 1 from 2, and then they merge it, so there's only one left. And then the honest thing about it is he comes out of it and he has no memory of what just happened, which to me doesn't make a lick of sense. Hey, guys, what's going on? Why are we all here?
No, I think that makes sense. His brain, his consciousness was separated into so many parts. If they're all slightly a part of him, he probably just couldn't keep it all straight.
Sure. I mean, just to avoid having them trying to pseudoscience explain anything, I will say yes, that is exactly what happened and how it went down.
Why the hell not? And then there's a little epilogue with Gassy not sure if Wayne's the real Wayne, because when there were like a million of them, he tried to give him attention and he got overwhelmed, as we all would. It's like Silk Spectre and Dr. Manhattan in that one scene. It's too much. One-on-one, that's good enough.
They're uncomfortably intimate. I don't know how I feel about any of this.
Well, they were dating, you know. I mean, he is a god and she was a superhero.
I'm referring to the very sensual togetherness of Wayne and Gassy.
Chan, I'm deeply sorry for you that you don't have that kind of relationship with your cat. Gina, back me up.
Nah.
Am I the only one that snuggles my cat?
No, I definitely snuggle both of them. They lay on top of the covers on either side of me and I can't move and it's like I'm a corpse.
And that's how they like it.
That is how they like it.
They don't want you moving.
I mean, every time I roll over, my cat does get mad at me. I can just tell. But I only have one that sleeps with me, but that's fine. It's fine. I keep telling myself the other one will come around.
Sorry you don't have the same relationship with your cats that Wayne has with Gassy.
Yeah, look, Gassy isn't sure about him until he's like, all right, it's just one. And then they do. They have a beautiful touching. I honestly started tearing up a little bit at the relationship they have. I wish that for all our lives, quite honestly, Chan.
Do you?
I'm sorry that, you know, appreciation and affection makes you so uncomfortable.
Have you met Chan?
I mean, once.
Have you met three of me?
Oh, shit.
That would be deeply uncomfortable.
I don't know. I mean, are three Chans any louder than one Chan?
What are you talking about? Three Chans couldn't get the microphone working at the start of the show. They'd be as quiet as everything.
It's a fair point.
Anyway, that is the end of Alien Busters. What's this thing called? Alienators, an evolution story or whatever. I don't know. It's the evolution. I did not have any clue that this cartoon existed. I had obviously less of a clue a toy line for this cartoon existed. Love this makes me want to go watch the movie again. I wonder if it holds up almost 25 years later. I remember it being a lot of fun and it just being kind of delightful to watch, but I have only ever seen it in theaters that one time. I never went back for a rewatch.
Yeah.
You know what? I like reading the description of it. I was like, oh, I would totally check this out. I can't believe it slipped through my purview.
I feel like it would be safe to equate this with Ghostbusters 2. Like in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with the movie. Like, you know, the characters are enjoyable to watch. The story is fine. The effects or whatever. It's entertaining, but it just doesn't leave any sort of impression on you whatsoever.
Yeah. I'm going to forget about this probably the second we're done with it.
Someday though, you'll be like at your parents' house or something and they'll just have basic cable TV on and you'll be flipping through and you'll see Evolution.
No, I want to say I bought it on like VHS way back in the day, but I don't, Jesus. I don't think that I did, but I probably wanted to. I mean, look, around the same time, I bought League of Extraordinary Gentlemen on.
Oh, I watched the crap out of that movie.
Yeah.
Christ.
I was reminded, how did this get made? Just did it. And they were like, this is like a bad movie that is not fun. And I remember it very differently than that.
I do not.
I remember it being like hella fun.
I was a big fan of the comic book. And so watching the movie was just like nails on a chalkboard.
You didn't like how they improved the Alan Moore original?
I'm just going to end this fucking show right now. Shit.
We need three Chans.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.